Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
St. Coletta's celebrating 120 years. The sisters, 175 years.
That's incredible.
And Sister Joanne was very excited to meet me, and she said, yes, I listen to your show every morning, which caused me immediately to think, like, wow, do I say a lot of mean stuff on the show?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 7:13 this morning, calls for still greater increases in the security details surrounding former President Donald Trump following what the FBI believes was a second attempt on his life. The guy they got, 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Routh, arrested after the Secret Service said they fired shots at him at a Florida golf course where Trump was playing. One agent said to have spotted the barrel of a long gun emerging from some shrubs nearby the president. They later recovered an AR-15 with a long-range scope and arrested Routh after he took off.
That's crazy. So they were in the hole in front of the president, checking out that hole and checking out the perimeter of the golf course, and one of the agents was able to spot his barrel. That's incredible.
And to the question that was asked earlier, was this a Secret Service success or a failure? I guess, right? They went the hole ahead. They saw something they didn't like. They engaged the guy. They prevented him from killing the president or former president. So, Secret Service success? How did the guy get that close?
Right, that's
I guess
the question,
there
right.
is that to yep, be answered yep. today. The former president is still planning to campaign in Michigan tomorrow.
Democratic and Republican members of the task force investigating the shooting have already requested a briefing from the Secret Service on yesterday's incident. There are now bipartisan calls to have Trump's security match that of Biden's. One Democratic representative saying anything less than maximum protection is a self-inflicted wound that puts our nation's stability at grave risk.
It's ABC's Christiane Cordero. To that point, right, that's a Democrat who said we got to bump up the security because any reasonable person knows and understands whether or not you like former President Trump or whether or not you hope he's reelected. Having him assassinated would be terrible for the country.
Oh, my gosh. Can't even fathom.
What would you even do with the election?
I would assume J.D. Vance would be at the top of the ticket, wouldn't he?
I don't know. Like, is there a... I mean, he's the vice presidential nominee. He's not more than that at this point. Would Republicans want to go back and try to renominate someone? Would there be a process? Would there be calls to delay the election? Boy,
no way.
How tough that gets constitutionally, right? So, yeah, regardless of your feelings on the former president, losing him in that way would be a terrible thing for the country. And pretty much everyone seems to recognize and understand that. What more do we know about the suspect and his motive?
Police have not released the motive, but investigators are exploring whether the suspect was upset by Trump's position on Ukraine. Records show 58-year-old Routh lived in North Carolina for most of his life before moving to Hawaii in 2018. This would mark the second assassination attempt on Trump's life in the last 9 weeks.
That is ABC's Lionel Moyes reporting on that. At least there's this. I mean, unlike the previous attempt, this guy's alive. So maybe they get something out of him in terms of motive. I guess it doesn't really matter.
No, but it's great to be able to hear if we can get into his head a little bit.
Right. Understand what was going on there. So much more to learn on that. And again, the former president expected to maintain his campaign schedule. He's supposed to be in Michigan tomorrow. 7:16, sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
It starts tonight at American Family Field. Brewers, Phillies, you're looking to get a higher seed in the playoffs. You're also looking to clinch the NL Central again. Yes, that's right. The Brewers buzz is back. Now, yes, I know they did fall to the Diamondbacks on Sunday afternoon. However, you'd argue it was a successful weekend. They won a couple of times, and the Cubs lost a few times. So now, where is our magic number? Pancake? Three. Three is your magic number to clinch the NL Central, Brewers fans.
And so we're still chasing the Phillies, whom we play now.
Well, right.
But we're pretty far behind them now.
We're two games behind the Dodgers for the two seats. So the Phillies are the one, Dodgers are the two, and we're two games behind them. So you want to win the games
no matter what.
Right.
Win baseball games.
Meanwhile, the Cubs are playing the Oakland A's tonight at Wrigley Field.
All right. We've got Falcons and Eagles tonight in Philadelphia to finish out week two in the NFL. The Packers, that feels a lot better.
He's got room. Josh Jacobs gallops three. Biggest run in his short tenure with the Packers. Jacobs for 40 yards.
Fox Sports on the call. 40 of Jacobs, 151 rushing yards. Packers ran all over the Colts. Ran the ball 53 times. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
It's one thing to want to do that, but to be able to go out there and execute that, I think that says a lot about really just all 11 out there, starting with the offensive line, but our backs were running hard. Our receivers were blocking their butts off like they always do.
And the Colts knew we were going to do that.
Everyone knew they were going to run, and they still did it.
And still we did it. So Packers beat the Colts 16-10, the final. One other oddity from the world of football. I was going to just pass on it, but then if you pass on it, then people want to know how come you didn't talk about it, right? This is why you insisted that we...
I insisted.
This is, I'm putting this on you.
Very unique. Oh, is that it? Do I play it again?
That was actually from the game.
It was not.
Third down situation. LaFleur is called a pass play, but Malik Willis decides to keep it and basically look like a quarterback draw.
Yeah.
LaFleur was confused, like, hey, that is not the play I called, and it didn't look like you audibled. Well, turns out he did it because moments before the snap, the center, Josh Myers, puked on the football.
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
I'm calling timeout. No, thank you.
It was like right before the snap, though, wasn't it?
You think he didn't have time to even do that?
Well, I don't think he didn't realize it had what it had on it until it was in his hands.
I hate that we have to break it down because it's so gross to think about, but I suppose.
I think this happens a lot, by the way. Maybe not in this fashion.
On the ball.
Right, but I think this happens
quite often.
There's
probably more puking than we notice, but not typically on the ball. Anyway, that's what that story is, since we had to know.
Speaking of puking, the Bears fall to the Texans on Sunday Night Football. Lions lose to the Buccaneers. The Vikings are now 2-0 after beating the Niners yesterday.
Jim never vomits at home.
Happy Monday!
It's time to look at the week ahead.
What a Monday morning.
The week ahead on Wisconsin's Morning News. What's going to be in your timeline? What's in your news feed? What are you going to hear on the radio? What will you read in the paper? What will you see on television?
Why don't you just tell me
what's going to be in the paper? Today and into this week, political news to share. Tucker Carlson is in Milwaukee tonight. He's going to be at Fiserv Forum. J.D. Vance is in Eau Claire on Wednesday. And Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin on Friday. Don't know where yet. Not sure if that'll be a Milwaukee hit or not for her.
Yeah, they've only said to Wisconsin.
And that's normal. We don't usually hear much about where they're coming until like the day before. TikTok facing a critical hearing in Washington today. The Chinese owner is fighting a law that would ban the app in the U.S.
U.S. officials say the app can be used as a Chinese propaganda tool, and user data can be handed over to the Chinese government. TikTok denies the allegations, calling the attempt to ban it a radical departure from this country's tradition of championing an open internet, and sets a dangerous precedent.
ABC's Randon Alley there. So yeah, they're going to have a hearing today before an appeals court. Their hope is they get a ruling by the first week in December, so then they can run it up the chain to the Supreme Court. Later this week, the Federal Reserve will meet, as they always do. They'll play cornhole and then decide whether or not to drop the rate. It sounds like they're going to trim the interest rates maybe by a quarter point. That's what experts are expecting.
It'd be the first drop in interest rates in 4 years, right?
Thursday, WTMJ, we're hosting a big radiothon for the Lance Cijon Memorial. Cijon's the Medal of Honor recipient. His memorial is that replica plane, the one he flew It's at the airport right now. John Mercure is raising money to help restore that memorial. So stay tuned on that big event taking place on Thursday. Plus, we've got a great added layer to that story coming up next hour right here on the program. On Saturday, President Joe Biden welcomes the leaders of Australia, India, and Japan for the final Quad summit of his term. So this is going to be just an event that they're going to have in his hometown. So he's going to bring the Quad summit to Wilmington, Delaware. Go down there in the man cave. Have him down there.
Let me show you around. Take a look. I just got this flat screen.
No, go ahead. No, sit in the car. Sit in the car. You'll love it. It's a convertible.
Take her out. Now you can't take it out.
So that's taking place over the weekend. The Brewers start a big series tonight at home. They're looking to clinch the NL Central at home this week. Enjoy that, Brewers fans. Another noon game for the Packers on Sunday. They play the Titans in Nashville at the movies. More horror movies. The Substance stars Demi Moore as a fading celebrity who decides to use a black market drug to create a younger, better version of herself. And things don't go well.
They don't?
Also arriving Friday, Never Let Go. Halle Berry is the mother of twin sons that live in a remote cabin in the woods. And you can only imagine what would happen there. So, yeah, scary movies return.
Too scary. Brewers Extra Innings host Dom Catronio joins us for Brewers 360 at 7:45.
It appears it is over. A dispute between some TV giants has ended.
After a two-week dispute, DirecTV and the Walt Disney Company reached an agreement over the weekend, returning ABC and ESPN channels to DirecTV consumers. Both sides are still working to finalize a new multi-year contract. The channels have been dark for millions of DirecTV customers since September 1st. DirecTV has more than 11 million customers.
So you should be getting your ESPN and all of those back on your DirecTV.
You asked an interesting question. You know, what about Channel 12 here locally as the ABC station, yeah, right? Here, that is still on the cable because it's an affiliate relationship. So in those markets where ABC owns the local station as well, like in New York, LA, I think Dallas, you know, like some of the big, they call those O&Os, owned and operated stations.
I got you.
Where the network actually owns the station, then that would have been blacked out on your DirecTV. Because it's Hearst, who has an affiliate relationship with Channel 12, as all of our locals do.
Right.
So WTMJ Channel 4 is EW Scripps Company. Yep. They have an affiliate relationship with NBC. They're not NBC. Same thing for Channel 12, which is why locally that didn't affect you in terms of ABC. Either way, so you said it. So I didn't have a chance to check. I'm
so
DirecTV.
Lots of people say it's already back. It's supposed to be back. They say they have a deal that's somewhat finalized, but they should be good to go.
Okay, great. I didn't need ESPN this weekend like I did a couple weekends ago for the U.S. Open.
Sure,
so.
I see. Well, you got Monday Night Football tonight, though.
Okay, so that'll be back. 7:39. On Wisconsin's Morning News, this report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. At 7:42, we'll be busy today.
Yeah, big day today for Breakthrough T1D, which used to be JDRF. It's the charity, the national charity that raises money for type 1 diabetes research. And here locally, Grand Geneva is hosting the big event today. It's Tee Up for the Cure, where they bring in a lot of big names, a lot of big celebrity sports people come and they golf for charity with the commoners like you and me.
And then also the likes of you and me. Right. I'm glad to be there to support this. It's an important cause to you. Of course, at least you have the connection and your personal story, which is why you're there. It doesn't really define why I'm there.
I appreciate your coming. Right. But yeah, it'd be pretty neat. So this, every year there's like one keynote golfer. Robin Yount has been that before. Ferguson Jenkins, a Hall of Famer from Chicago. He was the keynote last year. And this year it's Bonnie Blair.
Always good to see Bonnie. She's such, if you've never had an opportunity to meet her, she's such a gracious and extraordinary person who is entirely normal, but for the fact that she's one of the greatest Olympians of all time.
Right.
Otherwise, you never know. Just a great lady. So
yeah, Tee Up for the Cure is taking place today, Grand Geneva. So really neat event, and it's great to raise more and more money for type 1 diabetes research.
On that, I should pass on. Sister Joanne wanted me to say hello to you.
Oh, okay.
Of the Sisters of St. Francis of Assisi, helped out with a benefit on Friday night for St. Coletta, which is a school and a residential facility for people with developmental and intellectual disabilities. St. Coletta celebrating 120 years. The sisters, 175 years.
That's incredible.
And Sister Joanne was very excited to meet me, and she said, yes, I listen to your show every morning, which caused me immediately to think, like, wow, do I say a lot of mean stuff on the show? Jeez.
All of a sudden, you're super embarrassed.
Yes, like, what did I say today? Did I say anything dumb or mean today? Big fan of the show.
Oh,
so
great.
Passing that
Thank you, sister.
744 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers next will head to Tennessee, another noon kickoff. They play the Titans on Sunday, coming off a 16-10 win over the Indianapolis Colts Sunday at Lambeau Field.
Brewers fall to the Diamondbacks, a back-and-forth affair to wrap up their series 11-10 in 10 innings. So now they're back home starting tonight against the Phillies, and Pancake, our magic number... Three is our magic number to clinch the NL Central.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive. And on Mondays, we talk with host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio. Dom, how are you?
Good morning, guys. We're okay. We're okay. We survived. The sun came up today.
It did. More on why we're optimistic about that in a moment. First, can you help us here with the math? We are going with magic number at three.
For NL means, Central.
Right, which means any combination of Brewers wins and Cubs losses would cause the crew to clinch a division championship and hence a playoff berth. We are going with that number at three. Would you dispute that in any way?
No, that's the right number.
That is the right
number. Because the Brewers have the tiebreaker on
okay.
the Cubs. So that's why maybe you do the math. Like, wait a minute, it should be four. No, it's three. Because the teams can't end up tied. So the Brewers' magic number is three.
Okay, so it can't happen tonight.
No, it mathematically cannot happen tonight. As soon as it could happen is tomorrow. The Cubs are hosting the Oakland A's for a three-game series while these Brewers get the Phillies.
All right, appreciate you clearing that up. And the other thing that was brought to our attention was, okay, usually it's easier to clinch a wild card berth, right? So that would come first before clinching the division. In this case, actually, it's easier mathematically for the crew to clinch that division first, so then it's all for naught after that. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, correct, okay. Because the team that's in first place in the wild card berth is only a game back of the Brewers in their record.
Right.
So it's like, it's one of those years where it's so top-heavy where there's going to be multiple 90-win teams in the National League. And, heck, there could be a team that wins 90 games and is on the outside looking in. So that's part of the reason why you're going to clinch a division before you clinch a wild card. But who cares? Any way in, any means yeah. necessary is all that matters.
Difference between clinching and clenching.
Of course. Everyone clenched yesterday.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's exactly
it's
right,
been some clenching.
Yesterday was some serious clenching. So there's some back and forth. Vince has given his approval to the use or non-use of Williams.
Well, I understand
late in the game
now.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, my thing with it all is he's either available or he's not. And if you're gonna, you know, ride the line, and it was tough asking anybody to go four out of six, and they did that with Trevor McGillen. He gave up a run. Aaron Ashby, poor time for him to allow his first runs as a reliever. He had been fantastic, and then to just say, oh, we only want him for one or two batters. Okay, well, what happens if he, like, walks those one or two batters? And now he's going beyond what you had hoped with the three-batter minimum. So it just seemed like a plan destined to fail. And I'm not, like, mad or anything. It's just the fact of it's hard to ask pitchers to pitch this much. And now with McGill not going to be available probably until Wednesday at the soonest, I imagine he'll try to stay away from Devin since he technically got up to warm up yesterday. So every day leads to the next. It's hard to be a manager in Major League Baseball, especially in the middle of 13 in a row at the end of the season. There are a lot of reasons why the Brewers lost the game. It's not solely on Devin not getting in the game.
Interesting game, though. A lot of back and forth. The Brewers multiple times came from, you know, while they came from behind twice, right, to go ahead and find themselves in a position to win that ball game.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would have been their largest comeback win of the year, being down 5-0 at one point. My biggest takeaway from yesterday's game are two things. Number one, this team needs to re-sign Eric Haas as their backup catcher next year because he's been fantastic. Number two, Jackson Chourio might be the best hitter in the National League, and that's not hyperbole.
I mean, what he did against pitching, and that cat was fireballing. I mean, it wasn't like once in a while he hit 100. This dude was regularly in triple digits. I think he hit 103.
103 on that pitch. And in the Statcast era, when Jackson Chourio hit that triple down the right field line, That is the hardest hit ball. He hit it 110 miles an hour off his bat on a 103 mile an hour pitch. That's the hardest hit ball on a pitch that fast in the StatCast era. Oh, by the way, he's 20.
Brewers buzz.
That's what it is.
We got buzz.
All right, Dom. Hopefully all this business is taken care of when we talk again next week, all right?
It should be a fun week. Get your tickets now. They're virtually guaranteed to clinch at home, so these are always a party. These are fun. Thanks, guys.
Host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio with us on Brewers 360 today.
It was a record-setting night at the Emmys. Television's biggest night. Shogun, which is FX's remake of the 16th century feudal Japan drama Shogun, won 18 Emmys in its first season. Not bad. Take home 18 Emmys. But perhaps the biggest shocker from Sunday night, Vince.
It came in the category for best comedy.
Hacks.
The Max series Hacks winning for its third season, beating The Bear, which had set the record for the most comedy nominations ever at the Emmys. Co-creator and co-star Paul W. Downs obviously surprised.
I have no thoughts in my brain.
I was not expecting to be up here at all. So yeah, so The Bear did win Emmys though, and there was a big controversy over The Bear just because it's not really a comedy, but it was in the comedy category, and Eugene Levy, he brought that up.
Now, some of you might be expecting us to make a joke about whether The Bear is really a comedy, but in the true spirit of The Bear, we will not be making any jokes.
So it was kind of a look back at some other shows reunion type of thing. They did that with Happy Days. So there they were, Ron Howard and Henry Winkler. They were in the diner together. They had the diner there, and they were trying to figure out why the Happy Days music hadn't played.
Well, I have a solution.
What?
Well, you know. You could do it.
No, come on. First of all, I'm out of practice. And second of all, it takes schooling and, you know.
Well, you went to the Yale School of Drama, Henry. Come on, you know you can do it.
So Winkler, as the Fonz, strutted over to the jukebox, stood there for a minute, posed, and then hit it like he would have. It was fine.
It was schlocky. They knew it was schlocky. They did it like that. Okay.
Interesting observation because of what had happened earlier in the day on Sunday. We had the assassination attempt of former President Trump from that golf course. They have a man in custody. So you wondered how that may have played a role in what was said or not said at the Emmys.
Keep believing and vote. Vote for your rights.
There's a big push on registering to vote and to vote. Jon Stewart, who won an Emmy for The Daily Show, was asked about that shooting afterward. Or I'm sorry, not the shooting, but the assassination attempt of this guy they found at the golf course.
We live in a horrible moment where emotions, and I think the one rule maybe we could all benefit from in terms of engagement is no shooting.
Yeah, maybe we just do that. Can we just settle down a little
right.
bit? Finally, I'll leave you with this because I thought this was a very poignant remark that was made to be funny, but also so true. So they also did a 25-year reunion look back of The West Wing. So they had, you know, a couple of members of the cast, you know, unveiled. And
the Bartlett administration.
Yes, and Martin Sheen was there, and he looks exactly the same. Looks like a million bucks. But I thought it was great. Here's what they said.
It's hard to believe that just 25 years ago, Aaron and the writers actually had to use their imaginations to create interesting plot lines for The West Wing.
Unlike today, where storylines can be plucked right off the news, storylines that writers would have deemed a bit far-fetched, if not utterly ridiculous, 25 years ago.
Not wrong.
I think that's accurate.
Right? Right. They're not wrong.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
What happened to Tauscher? How did you do, Tauscher? Is he back tomorrow?
Tauscher's back tomorrow. He's just off today, but we'll get you your Packers breakdown. ESPN's Jason Wilde is going to join us at 8:10 this morning. Find out some more of the inside stuff on everything that played out at Lambeau Field on Sunday and look ahead to the Titans. That's coming up with Wilde at 8:10.
Nice to see you.